Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Middle-class families shouldn't pay higher taxes than millionaires and billionaires.
Liar.
That's pretty straightforward.
You liar, you.
It's hard to argue against that.
You liar.
Warren Buffett's secretary shouldn't pay a higher tax rate than Warren Buffett.
You liar.
There's no justification for it. It is wrong that in the United States of America, a teacher or a nurse or a construction worker who earns $50,000 should pay higher tax rates than somebody pulling in $50 million.
How about Intel? Yes. How about General Electric?
Pretending that I'm doing well.
Pinocchio is so out of control. Oh, welcome to the Savage Nation. Today we're going to talk about Taxgate, which is Obama's lies on taxes. He's lying through his teeth. He gives speeches against the rich, and then he goes, takes money from them, and they throw money at him. We're going to talk about Taxgate, Solargate, and Wiregate today. Lisper's discretion is advised. First of all, are rich taxed less than secretaries, as the liar-in-chief just said? The answer is no. Even the Associated Press, which is, of course, as you well know, biased towards the Democrat Party, biased towards America's first saint in the White House, biased in every way against everything that is dear to us as Americans. Even the Associated Press realized they had lost all credibility, and they had to write an article today. Fact check, are rich taxed less than secretaries, as the liar-in-chief says? They didn't call him the liar-in-chief. They should have. He said, the liar-in-chief, that it is wrong in the U.S. that a teacher, nurse, or a construction worker who earns $50,000 should pay higher tax rates than somebody pulling in $50 million. The reality is that on average, the wealthiest people in America pay a lot more taxes than the middle class or the poor, according to all data that's been raised. For example, the 10% of households with the highest incomes pay more than 50% of all federal taxes. We pay 70% of federal income taxes. I admit that I am no longer poor. I was poor for many years. I worked three jobs. I'm an older man. I've saved my money. I'm in the broadcasting business. I'm a best-selling author. I admit it. I've worked for every dime I have. Took it from nobody. And I'm in the top category, okay. Certainly not amongst the Buffett level, but I make a good living. I'm in the 10% of households with the highest income, and I pay more taxes than most people in the country. And people who earn more than $1 million pay more than 70% of all federal income taxes. On the other side, lower income households pay almost nothing. Almost nothing. Almost nothing. In other words, the voters for Obama pay nothing. That's why they vote for Obama. And, of course, the entire left wing continues to attack us, those of us who have been the hardest workers. Now, here we have a government that is so out of control that it's spending $1.5 trillion more than it's taking in. $1.5 trillion more than it's taking in. In other words, let's make it simple for you. What does a deficit mean? It means the gangsters who are controlling this country are spending your money at a rate of $1.5 trillion more than they're taking in. So now they're saying we need to take more from you. And in order to do so, they're lying to you and saying that the rich are not paying their fair share. I would say if that were true, then Warren Buffett should be paying much more money, but he isn't. How does Warren Buffett get off with saying that he pays less than his secretary? First of all, he was told to say it as a deal, in my opinion, because he got some insider trading information, in my opinion, on Bank of America and other companies, in my opinion. And that's why he came out as a stooge for Obama's tax-raising scheme and said that the rich should be taxed more. Well, the fact of the matter is Warren Buffett takes a salary of $100,000, and he pays 15% of that on federal taxes because he takes it as dividend income. But his corporation is another story. They pay very low taxes because they say that the money is earned overseas or the corporation has an office in Ireland. This is done by Google and other corporations, I understand. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but many American corporations, particularly those who put the stooge in office, have offices in Ireland and in foreign countries with low or no income taxes on their corporations. And they say that their income comes in from Ireland primarily, and they get away with paying almost no U.S. taxes. Did you know that? Some of the biggest mouths in this country who claim that we should pay more pay nothing on the corporate level. You don't know that. And they're following the lead of General Electric, which earned over $5 billion in U.S. income and paid nothing. General Electric has over 1,000 accountants, most of whom worked for the IRS, who have jury-rigged the system, in my opinion, so they pay no taxes. Now, is that fair? Is it fair that Jeffrey Immelt of General Electric should get away with that? No, that's not fair. And is it fair that Obama is able to get away with his lies to such an extent that he says to you that the rich are taxed less than secretaries? That's not fair either. The 10% of households with the highest incomes pay 70% of federal income taxes. 70%. And so now Obama wants to attack the middle class. And he says that people who make more than $1 million a year should not pay a smaller share of their income and taxes than middle class families. That's what Buffett wrote, the liar, in my opinion. Buffett the liar, Buffett the fraud, Buffett the charade artist, in a recent piece for the Old York Times, said that the tax rate he paid last year was lower than that paid by any of the other 20 people in his office. Well, that's because Buffett's income is dividend income. The other people get it as ordinary income. And so then Obama chimes in and says, now let's tax people to the extent that they will no longer make money. The fact of the matter is this year, households making more than $1 million will pay an average of 29.1% of their income in federal taxes. I'll repeat that in case you don't know what this is about. This year, households making more than $1 million will pay an average of 29.1% of their income in federal taxes. Now, on top of that, on top of this almost 30% in Fed taxes, on average, there are state taxes. Here in California, I pay over 10% in this criminal state with broken roads, mean people, no services, gangbangers and deviants on every street corner. I pay an additional 10% to the gangsters who run California who want to take more money from me so they can put it in the pockets of those who put them in office and support the illegal aliens who get free medical care to the tune of $15 to $20 billion a year in the state of California alone. So I'll slow down now. The fact of the matter is 46% of households, mostly low and medium income households, will pay no federal income tax this year. They work for Obama. They vote for Obama. They elect Schumer. They elect everyone in this country who wants to destroy the middle class, who wants to destroy the bourgeoisie. So there it is. That's Taxgate. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warren Buffett's secretary shouldn't pay a higher tax rate than Warren Buffett. There's no justification for it. Anybody who says we can't change the
liar,
tax code
liar,
to correct that,
liar,
anyone
liar,
who signs some
liar,
pledge to protect
liar,
every single tax loophole as long as they
liar,
live, they
liar, pants are on fire.
To defend that
liar,
unfairness.
Pants are on
We're
fire.
We're hearing the usual defenders of
liar,
these kinds of
pants
loopholes.
Are, okay, I can't take it anymore. Am I the only one in America who knows this man is Pinocchio? I've never seen anything like it, the most corrupt administration in American history. You've got Taxgate, Solargate, Wiregate. It begins and it doesn't end. From the minute this man wakes up in the morning until he goes to sleep at night, he and his friends are scamming us one way or the other. Now, I understand the political system is such that you make donations and you get something for it. I'm not naive. This is the way it's been since the time of the beginning of political history. You pay off those in power and you get favors. I understand that. But the magnitude of the payouts, the magnitude of the corruption, the magnitude of the interference with the business of America, even the business of our national security, allegedly, in the case of this Wiregate, I've never seen anything like this. He's lying about millionaires paying less tax than lower earners. That's a complete lie. Everybody has caught him on that one. Solargate is so fettered right now. The Solargate company, Solyndra, that he backed to the hilt, went to bankrupt, as you well know, last week. $500 million disappeared. The FBI went in there and took their records. And now the executives from Solargate are going to testify Friday before Congress, and they've said they're going to plead the Fifth Amendment. I have not seen a business executive plead the Fifth Amendment since the Valachi papers. And I'm telling you, it's like gangsters are running the country. They're stealing from us. They're robbing from us. They don't care about their children, if they have any. They don't care about national security. They would sell you down the river for 10 cents more. It's unbelievable to me. Now, some would say this has nothing to do with Obama, and witness the fact that the FBI went after Solyndra executives. But that's half the story. Yes, it's Justice Department holders, bailiwick. He went in under the FBI and got the Solyndra scandal papers, right? But now what happens is this. If you ever see any executive from Solyndra indicted and go to jail, I'll buy you a free lunch at your restaurant of choice in the United States of America. I can guarantee you the only reason the FBI went into the Solyndra Corporation was to cover up the crime rather than to expose the crime. They went in to seize the records so nobody else could. They seized the records so that Congress would never see them. Guarantee you, you will never see one Solyndra executive go to jail. In fact, they were told to dummy up and take the Fifth like any gangster would. So, therefore, who watches the watchers? Who's on our side? Who do we have? Who do we have? You talk about abuse of power. I mean, I'm reluctant to bring up the title of the book over and over again, but abuse of power so clearly defines this administration that it's stunning. It's stunning. New York, WOR, Greg, welcome to the program.
Hey, Michael, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm a proud owner of all your books. I love every one of them.
Thank you.
And I decided, instead of ordering it from the internet this time, to actually go into a Barnes & Noble and buy it off the shelf and
right.
See if the stories that I'm hearing from some of your listeners were, if I got the same experience. So I'm in Suffolk County, so I'm out on Long Island, and I went into the store, and I know you'd paid for upfront placement, so I checked the front first, and I worked my way back and back and back, and eventually I found myself walking around the store four or five times. Finally, I asked the clerk, do you have abuse of power? Never heard of it before. So
mm-hmm.
He looked it up on the computer, and I said, yeah, we have it here. I show that we have it. I'm just not really sure where it is. 10 minutes later, he asked this person, he asked that person. Finally, we go towards the back. Next thing we know, we see a crate with a box, and there it was. Inside the crate, in a box, wasn't even packed out yet. And they actually had to get somebody else to come over, cut the box open, and then they...
Well, look, that could be one of two things. It could be on purpose, or it could be the book sold out in the first shot, and they were getting a resupply. I mean, it is possible, isn't it?
It's possible, but I mean, you would think that if it was something that was being sold that much, that we would have had at least somebody who would have heard of it.
I know someone who went into a local bookstore in California and they were sold out, and they said they have 30 copies ordered because they sold it out. So I don't know that this is a conspiracy to hide the book as much as it is it's selling so fast they can't keep it in stock. I would look at it in a positive way, but I will tell you this, asking for it is very, very helpful, and I'm going to send you a free copy of Abuse of Power right now. What would you like me to talk about on this show in the next 30 minutes? Taxgate, Solargate, or Wiregate? Or what is your favorite political line in Abuse of Power? Which character in Abuse of Power fascinated you the most? I mean, I can do both. I can do all three. We can have three or four balls in the air. Solyndra execs to plead Fifth at House hearing. How do you feel about this? How do you feel about the fact that a solar company that we knew from the beginning, from the get-go, out of the box, was a fraud? Everyone knew that this entire green revolution was a fraud, a scam, just like Al Gorleone's global warming scam was done for the carbon credits. Look, how much further do you have to go than the fact that Al Gore grew up in a family where his father, Senator Al Gore, left the Senate and went to work for Occidental Coal Corporation? Al Gore grew up a rich boy, based on carbon fuels. Carbon fuels, fossil fuels. Al Gore's original inheritance was built on coal. Coal. So now he figures out, okay, the idiot libs have been smoking dope for so long. We've been able to brainwash them for so many years in the schools. We've been able to refocus them so successfully. How can I make money on energy now? Well, I make it on the other side. Instead of selling them coal, now I'll sell them green. Now, he said, well, how can I make money on green energy? I actually have to produce something. I don't want to produce something. I'm Al Gore. I'm too good for producing something. So I'll produce a fantasy called carbon, global warming from carbon emissions. And then, on top of that, I'll come up with a scheme called carbon credits, which I'll control. Wow, what a scam that is. So now he's in the private jets, flying around giving speeches to all the liberal morons, and he's making a fortune. So the other scam artists see what Al Gorleone is getting away with, a guy who's not that smart, a stumble bum moron, in my opinion, a loser, a third-class brain of the lowest order. And so they say, if that third-class moron from Tennessee can make that kind of money with the global warming scam, what can I get in on the, how can I get in on the green racket? I got it. I'll build solar panels. So then they lobby Obama to give them money, federal money, and they get $500 million for Solyndra, and then within 2 years they go bankrupt, and they blame the Chinese for it. And they blame the Chinese, but where's the $500 million? Where did it go? How much of it got sent upstairs, so to speak, to the you know, the big man in the sky, the man in the golden chair? That's number one, too. Then we have the other one. See, one after the other. Now we got the other gate. What's the other gate? Wiregate. Here you have a company that's building a wireless network. A guy made $10 billion, by the way, Mr. Falcone, a brilliant man. He made $10 billion, not million, $10 billion, betting against the housing market. Betting against the housing market, meaning he put you out of your house by betting that your mortgages would go belly up. He made $10 billion, and he put a lot of it into this company, Wiregate, we're calling it. It's this square thing. And the Defense Department says, wait a minute, your signal is going to interfere with our GPS. It can knock out all of our airplanes, our ships at sea. And this guy says, no, it won't interfere. And he tries to get a general, allegedly, to change his testimony. Abuse of power, anyone? So we got Taxgate, Solargate, Wiregate. And you say, well, come on, this can't be true. This is just because you don't like President Obama because he's liberal and he's black. You know you're being unfair. I mean, he's a good man. He just wants what's fair for the country. And just because he wants to tax the middle class and call them rich doesn't make him a liar. Just because he goes to dinners with billionaires and millionaires and takes their money while attacking them the next day doesn't mean he's a hypocrite, Michael. In fact, you're the hypocrite. And Solargate, I mean, how can you say that? Just because the executives who were raided by the FBI because they can't account for the $500 million that the government gave them with tax money, just because they're going to plead the Fifth Amendment like gangsters doesn't mean they're actual gangsters. I mean, they may appear to be gangster-like. It may sound like the Valachi papers, Radu, but you can't blame Obama for that. I mean, he thought that the solar company would produce solar panels that would be in everybody's household, that every toilet would be flushed with a solar panel. And as far as Light Squared goes and Wiregate, maybe it's time that the GPS system in the military was overridden and that the airplanes couldn't fly and the ships couldn't sail at sea, because then there'd be less war. I mean, this could be the way to do it. I mean, you throw off the GPS for the military, and then they can't drop bombs on innocent Arabs. And then people like, anyone who says America caused 9/11, like Tony Bennett on the Balloon Man show. Tony Bennett goes on the Balloon Twister show and says that although the Arabs, the Muslim fascists, committed 9/11, they did so because we provoked them. So therefore, Wiregate, and that's a good thing. Because think about it. If the U.S. Air Force loses its GPS and the Navy loses its GPS and it can't navigate, it's the end of war as you know it. Don't you understand this? This is good. So Taxgate, Solargate, Wiregate, it's only a matter of perspective. Now, as far as Hitler of Iran coming to New York on Ahmadinejad and not being arrested by Obama, that's also a matter of perception. He's a good man. He represents the Iranian people. And who cares about a few million Jews? They've always been trouble since Jesus' time, you would say, as a good liberal. And therefore, the Jews should either pack their little valises and leave the Middle East to the Arabs, who did so well with it before there was an Israel. I mean, the sand was more ecological when you think about it. From a liberal perspective, when it was just a desert and there was nothing growing there and there were no ugly buildings and no cars, really, just donkeys, you know, beating up women and beating up their children, cutting each other's head off, that was a more ecological society. It was closer to nature. It was the way God intended it to be until the nasty Jews arrived in 48 and built up a paradise, so to speak. Well, it's not a paradise for everybody. Look at that. There's highways. There's buildings. There's air conditioning. There's all sorts of modernistic things that are offensive to someone from the Middle East. So therefore, it would be good for the Jews to be kicked out, according to the liberal. See, this is a matter of perspective. You have to look at things through the eye of the liberal to get the right look at things. So you say, well, come on, Matt, Michael, that can't be true. 90% of Jews vote for Obama. That means he's good for the Jews and good for Israel. Oh, well, not necessarily. As you know, many Jews are very successful. Many aren't. But many Jews are also psychotic in the sense that they have no sense of survival. They have no idea how to survive. They think that by appeasing the enemy, they're going to live. They haven't learned anything from the Holocaust, I would say. But you would say appeasement is the road to paradise. In fact, I'm not the only one who says that. The man who said it best was Governor Perry in clip 31. Listen.
We're equally indignant of the Obama administration and their Middle East policy of appeasement that has encouraged such an ominous act of bad faith. Simply put, we would not be here today at this very precipice of such a dangerous move if the Obama policy in the Middle East wasn't naive and arrogant, misguided, and dangerous.
Now that's a president. There's your president. But watch what happened. The minute Perry came out and called it like it was, he was ripped apart not only by the vermin on the left on CNN, the party of Wolf Blitzer, but even Fox News, as you well know, which is playing a very peculiar game into making you think they're conservative. Fox News is what CNN was 5 years ago. Fox News is 90% owned by a prince, a Saudi prince. And so Fox News, as you well know, is no longer a conservative outlet, which is why I'm banned from Fox News the way I'm banned from the United Kingdom. The fact of the matter is Fox News now comes up using their stooge, their little man, whatever his name is. Who's the little guy on Fox News? Oh, Neil Cavuto, the worst broadcaster in American history. Neil Cavuto comes up and has the nerve to attack Perry and let a hack for the Republican Party say that Romney is more electable. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. But there was Neil Cavuto, the stooge of the Republican Party, little Neil. Little Neil way over his head, gets his head patted every once in a while by Donald Trump. Then he has his head patted every once in a while by his boss at Murdoch, although Murdoch hasn't been seen or heard from since his tiger wife attacked the guy who tried to attack him in England. Murdoch's been playing it very close to the cuff. We don't know where he is since then. So the little guy Cavuto has the nerve now to come out and attack Perry by putting out a puff piece on Romney by a Republican flack. And this is orchestrated now, both CNN and Fox News attacking Romney. And I want to say something. Romney's not that conservative. Compared to the communists and the atheists and the socialists who have ruined America, he is conservative. But for those of us who believe in borders, language, and culture, Perry is a 70%er, which is a lot more than a zero or a minus 50%er. Okay? 1-800-449-8255. Write it down. That's the Savage Nation phone line. That's the hotline to the... If you get on this show, you'll talk to more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life. Did you know that? Think about that. If you get on this show and you get to express your opinion, you will be heard by more people in that minute or 90 seconds than you will have spoken with and you will speak with for your entire life. And I do this 3 hours a day, every day, 5 days a week for the last 16 years. And I do so because I love America. I'm still a Boy Scout. And I still believe America can be saved. I do believe the 20 senators who are still working for the American way will save us from the 80 senators who should be sent to Siberia. New York, WOR, Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing? I'm 32 years old, just recently started getting into politics because of you, actually. I used to watch, you know, some shows like Bill Maher, Jon Stewart and everything. And to be honest, right now, yours is the only show that I can tolerate at all. It just it all seems like crap, to be honest. It's been a real awakening listening to your show.
Well, okay, so you like me because you think I'm telling you how it is. I'm calling them like I see them, and they seem to resonate with you, right?
What's that?
You like it because it sounds like what you think. Is that it?
Yeah, absolutely. I just thought of my own business, and just now that, I'm paying tax and all this, I'm more involved in politics. It's just, I started paying
right,
tax.
Absolutely. Well, right, you're a young guy, and as they say, anyone who's young and is not a liberal has no heart. And anyone who is older and is still a liberal has no mind. So you're now in the transition phase.
My Facebook page.
The way the joke goes another way is, what do you call a communist with three children?
What?
A fascist. Everyone's politics changes as they mature and they face the realities of a real life. It's very easy to be a liberal and for everyone who's downtrodden when you're, just a punk smoking dope and running after girls. But once you wake up to the fact that there's a real world out there and someone has to pay the bills and they're gonna hit you for the taxes, suddenly it's a different story. I mean, that's the reality of it, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. My girlfriend.
But it's more than taxes, Kevin. To me, it's not about taxes. It's about national security and national pride. National pride has never been more destroyed than it is under this man. This man hates America. This man and his wife hate this country. They have an inherent bias against everything that is good, an inherent bias for everything that is evil in this country. I've never seen anything like it. They have virtual sympathy for the devil. I can't say enough to tell you how dangerous the situation is that we are living through. When you see scandals on this level of $500 million of stimulus money going missing, do you have any idea what we don't know yet? How many of the $800-900 billion they took from the taxpayer, how much of it has disappeared into the hands of who? Where'd the money go? Kevin, do you know anybody who got stimulus funds?
Nobody. And I used to
nobody.
Be a mortgage broker, and I was around. That was, they were pushing all these stimulus through, and I don't know anybody who got anything.
Nobody knows anybody who got the stimulus money. It all went into the pockets of the supporters of this administration, this regime. So we're in very, very deep danger here in this country. I appreciate your call. I'll send you a copy of Abuse of Power. It should debut on the New York Times list, I believe, this Sunday in the top 10 at least. It's selling pretty good. And you say, oh, great, you're going to get richer. I swear to God, it's not going to change my lifestyle. I wrote the book to get even. I wrote fiction to finally tell my story. I am the Billy Budd that England hung me out on a yard on. They wanted me to die. England would still like me to die, and so would many members of this country's elite like to see me hanging from a yard on. But the fact of the matter is, I slipped the knot, and here I am, sitting before you, yours truly, your humble broadcaster, Michael Savage. That's why I wrote Abuse of Power. They hung me from the yard on. I am Billy Budd. I am the original Billy Budd. I am the underdog that America loves. They are the evil. They are the evildoers, these people. I don't want to go into it again, but when you read either the fictional version of what happened to me in Abuse of Power, or you see the movie when it comes out, or you go and you look it up online, you will find out that the vermin in England, the rats in England, the liberal socialist vermin in England who did business with the Libyan terrorists, who are now being thrown out of power, the very same vermin in England, the Labour Party, were found in writing to have said that they're putting Michael Savage on this list with murderers and terrorists and keeping him out of England to, quote, balance the list. Now, what do you think they mean or meant by to balance the list? All the people who were banned from England, 80% of them were Muslims, because they were terrorists who committed horrible deeds, or they were threatening to take over England, or they were threatening to kill the Queen, so they banned them from England. Then they banned skinheads, Russian skinheads, who were in jail for 10 years and couldn't go to England anyway because they beat up and killed immigrants. So you say, okay, that makes sense. How did they come to put a broadcaster on a list of people who can't enter England? No one could figure it out. But then when you realize the spinelessness and the evil of a liberal, especially a British Labour liberal, you come to understand that they would do anything. They would destroy a nation for another moment in the sun. So they figured, destroy Savage, no one's going to come to his aid. And they were right. No one came to my aid except my own listeners. The strange part is that I'm not even heard in England. Think about that one. My show is not even broadcast in England. How could they ban me? Well, okay, the rest is history. So I wrote Abuse of Power, and it's not about me, really. It's a fictional version of a story about me, in a way. Jack Hatfield, hardened former war correspondent, rises to national prominence for his insightful, provocative commentary. But then he's smeared as a bigot and an extremist by a radical leftist media watchdog group, and he loses his job, and he finds himself working in obscurity as a freelance news producer in San Francisco. And so he's on a drive-along with the SFPD bomb squad, right? And when the FBI finds military-grade explosives in the Jack car, Jack knows it's much more than a carjacking, but the FBI tries to shut Hatfield up. And then we see a shadowy trail that leads Hatfield from San Francisco, Tel Aviv, London, Paris, and he works with a stunning Yemeni intelligence agent and a veteran group of Green Berets to expose a terrorist group known as the Hand of Allah and a plot to bring about the next 9/11 here in America. It's a lightning-fast book. It goes back and forth to Europe, Israel, back alleys of San Francisco, Chinatown, and it's all about a reporter who is fighting for the life of the country. It's all fiction. It's called Abuse of Power. And I'm getting even. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're already hearing the usual defenders of these kinds of loopholes saying this is just class warfare. I reject the idea that asking a hedge fund manager to pay the same tax rate as a plumber or a teacher is class warfare. I think it's just the right thing to do.
It's frightening how this man, his nose grows longer every day. It is so bad. It is so ugly. It's becoming so ugly that even the left-wing Associated Press has caught the president in a lie, saying our rich taxed less than secretaries. And the answer is, astonishingly, as you well know, no. It's a myth. Millionaires don't pay less tax as a percent of income than lower earners at all. This is a Buffett rule. It's a complete lie. Now, having said that, I would love to see hedge fund operators taxed not only at a fair rate, but at a higher rate. In fact, I would think hedge fund operators should not only be taxed at a higher rate, I think hedge fund operators should be put in prison and all of their assets seized. In fact, I think that if you don't reinstate the uptick rule and Glass-Steagall, you're playing along with those who are and have destroyed not only the housing market, but the country itself. They are the grim reaper of our time. They are the robber barons of our time. The hedge fund operators are the robber barons of our time. And who is the fattest cockroach of all the hedge fund operators? George Soros. There's a group called the Managed Funds Association, all hedge fund operators. The MFA has lobbied so successfully that they managed to put a president in power called Obama. It's all in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, incidentally, which, I mean, I wrote the book last year. It came out in paperback this week. I'm not selling you a book. I'm selling you the truth and facts. How do I do it all? Because there's very little time left for me, and there's very little time left for America. And therefore, if I don't work around the clock, who is going to do it? And if I'm not for me, who will be? And on the other hand, if I'm only for me, who am I? Okay, to quote somebody very famous from 1,000 years ago. If I'm not for me, meaning what, I shouldn't think of myself? If I'm not for me, who will be? The answer is nobody. But if I'm only for me, who am I? The answer is a horrible person. So you take a guy like a hedge fund operator who is only for himself, gives nothing back to America, like a parasite, like a leech, like a vulture, sucks everything out of the country, and then has the nerve to destroy the country on top of it all after robbing everybody and after paying very few taxes, but they've offshore, inshore, your shore, my shore, wherever you see how much taxes the hedge fund operators in an MFA paid last year. See if you can get that information. In fact, why don't you do an analysis of all the tail numbers that were on Martha's Vineyard this August when the president and Mrs. O were there and see what their tax burden has been. See what the tail numbers are and then do a survey if you can find out what their taxes are. I guarantee you they're paying less than a secretary. That I can guarantee you. So it's a big thing, man. It's like carrying the world on his shoulders. There's a lot of people trying to do this right now because we all know the few of us who know this in the media are petrified about what this man is doing to us. For a while, we didn't know whether he was just incompetent or just a good liberal who meant well. Most of us think that he's actually working for the other side to undermine the country, destroy it. That's the honest truth, but I don't want to go into it because I'll lose most of my audience. You're not ready for this. You're not ready for it. Most of you are living with the myth that Obama's just a good man who's misunderstood. He's a good liberal who wants to make sure that the rich pay their fair share and that the poor are taken care of, the most vulnerable in our society. You know, you heard it all, right? gays in the military, hooray. The hell with naval aviators. As long as you have women and gays in the Navy, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter whether they can still get anybody to fly a plane off an aircraft carrier. What matters is that women and gays feel comfortable aboard ship and that they have enough KGB agents on the ship to report anybody who says makes an off-color joke or is caught drinking a drink on shore. It doesn't matter if they could ever sail a ship either. In other words, if you can get a good woman or a good gay to sail a ship, what could be better? Even if they run the ship aground or they can't run it. The important thing is they look good in Obama's magazine. You know, the new America, the way a college catalog looks. How America should look. You know, the rainbow coalition, so to speak. That's what matters. Not whether there's any competency in the military anymore. Just that the rainbow coalition is alive and well. You get it? So we're all worried that the enemy within has finally succeeded. And they're about to put the knife into the heart of America and she will never get up again. Lady Liberty has been raped, Lady Liberty has been beaten up, and Lady Liberty is laying there near death. And now they are circling for the kill, and they want to put the knife into the heart of Lady Liberty so she can never rise again. That is what most of us who see things as they are see things as they are. Trust me, I'm not the only one. If I were, I'd be a madman babbling on a tower somewhere, the Tower of London. It would be the Tower of Creedmoor. But the fact of the matter is, millions of people listen to this show every week, and hundreds of thousands of people buy my books, and millions of people listen to others in the media who see the world the same way. We all can't be crazy, can we? Or do you want to live in a world where those of us who don't agree with this left-wing fanatic, Marxist in the White House, surrounded by gangsters, are put into mental hospitals as they were, the dissenters were in the ex-Soviet Union? That's what's coming to this country soon. Mark my words. They'll declare us all crazy and put us in nut houses.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Are we the terrorists or are they the terrorists? Two wrongs don't make a right. They flew the plane in, but we caused it. We were bombing them, and they told us to stop. What are you doing? And they came on stronger, and they come on, we're going to have to retaliate. No, no, no. They said, go give them four times as much. So sometimes it's not clear.
I left my mind
in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
There's San Francisco values. There's Tony Bennett, revered by the fools of San Francisco, saying that we caused 9/11. Now, you would say that that's horrible. But if I were to tell you that most of the left-wing fanatics in San Francisco actually agree with him, I wouldn't be wrong. So here's an old, stupid man, a dumb old fool, a songster, nothing more than a minstrel. He's way older than, 90 by now. And the old minstrel, God bless him, has the nerve to go on the Balloon Man show in which he says, we caused 9/11. That's like saying that a woman who was raped on a dark night in a dark alley was raped because she was wearing a short skirt. That is like saying the old woman walking down the street who was mugged on the way to the supermarket by a gangbanger was mugged because she had money and the gangbanger had no money. So Tony Bennett, as you well know, is a very important man in America, especially in Nancy Pelosi's backyard, revered by esteemed individuals at virtually every gala. There they are, the same people in the same old suits, the same octogenarians. There they are, one after the other. There's Schultz. Everywhere you turn, George Schultz with the same blue suit, hobbling into every event. And next to him is his wonderful wife with five or six last names of the formerly rich husband, Charlotte, Maylard, Swig, Schultz. Again, they bow down to them as though they're royalty. And alongside them, obviously, if he's available, if he's not inside a clothing bag inhaling cannabis, I'm joking, of course, out comes the minstrel Tony Bennett to say that we got what we deserved. Now, these are the same people who would say that anyone who says a woman was raped because she was wearing a short skirt should be arrested, but they're saying that we got raped by the Muslim fanatics because we deserved it. You hear this? This is the world I have to make sense out of for you. We're also talking about Solargate, Wiregate, and Taxgate on the Savage Nation. At the same time, we have a week. This is like an aligning up of the worst planets in history. The Prime Minister of Israel is coming, Netanyahu. At the same time that the Hitler of Iran is already here being feted by the leftists at Columbia University. At the same time this is all going on, Obama attacks Murdoch through his Justice Department, trying to bring down Murdoch in order to make certain that the leprechaun continues to go softer and softer into the night. They want to make sure that everyone on Fox News goes more softly into the night and says nothing bad about the evil that they see happening to this country. And now you know why I am banned from Fox News. It's actually a badge of honor. It is actually a badge of honor, to be honest with you. Anyone who's banned from Fox News can't be all bad. I mean, they have hookers on, they have murderers on, terrorists on, prostitutes, degenerates on a daily basis, with the blondies sitting there with the wet lips and the leg crossing, day and night, day and night, and they don't have me on. What's my crime? The truth. Apparently, the truth is banished from the Fox News. That's all. So what would you like to talk about? Taxgate, Solargate, Wiregate, all aboard Israel? Anyone on board with Israel? Anyone actually believe that a Palestinian state will lead to peace between the Israelis and the so-called Palestinians? The Israelis are actually Palestinians, by the way. There is no such thing as a Palestinian. What's a Palestinian? The Israelis are Palestinians. Any Sabra who was born in Palestine is a Palestinian. This is another game of the radical left, of the type that Obama worked with, lived with, talked with, walked with, ate with, drank with in Reverend Wright's church. The Israel has no right to exist because the Palestinians are oppressed and the Americans are evil people. Not God bless America. You see, I mean, 20 years of that, and then he becomes president. What could be better? Than to see his dream fulfilled, than the destruction of the Jewish state? I mean, there's another Nobel Prize in it, at which the invocation will be led by Reverend Wright, brought back from obscurity. See, this is how it is. This is how it is. You got to make jokes and you got to be with the blokes in order to get through the day. What would you like to do on the Savage Nation? Chicago, Cassandra, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Michael. The reason that you're hearing and seeing and reading random acts of journalism occurring in the left-wing mainstream news media is because these people know that Obama is bad for them, too. He threatens their existence, their profitability. So what they're trying to do is influence how we see the Republican candidate. And this is my theory, that this is why they're going with Romney, not just because of Obamacare, but because they believe that Romney is a less of an evil to them, that they can deal with him after the experience.
Of course, Romney is a Rockefeller Republican. Romney is a check pants Republican. Romney is a country club Republican. Romney is everything wrong with America. Romney is everything wrong with America. He's a nice man, but that's not what we need right now. We're living in a very dangerous world. We're living in a very dangerous nation. It is filled by gangsters who have sacked the Treasury, and we need a tough guy to go in there and clean house and put him in prison. We don't need another get along, go along, Republican check panster.
Bravo.
That's all. That's why I'm sending you abuse of power, because it's being abused by the power. It's being abused by the power. But the lady may be right in that when you see the Associated Press, which is very biased to the left, coming out after the president's speech, and by and large, basically calling him Pinocchio by saying, fact check, our rich tax less than secretaries, and they proved that he was a liar. You know something's going on when you see even Associated Press taking on President Obama and basically calling him out as being a liar. You know that. And you know that when Obama gives speeches saying that Warren Buffett's secretary shouldn't pay a higher tax than Warren Buffett, he's lying. It's all a lie. It's all a scam. And then the next night he goes and gives a speech. He gives a speech before rich people. Obama derides these rich billionaires and millionaires. And then he goes to dinner at night and collects $35,000 or more ahead that we know of. He raises money in New York. And when was this? What date was this? I'm looking for the date. September 19th. Hours after delivering a White House speech that called on wealthy Americans to pay higher taxes, President Barack Pinocchio dined with some of these very Americans in New York. Pinocchio was expected to raise more than $2 million for his reelection campaign. Pinocchio didn't mention his plan to tax the rich, at least not in front of reporters. But Pinocchio did allude to the controversy around his plan. And so the fundraiser was held at the Upper East Side home of Jane Hartley, CEO of the Observatory Group, LLC, an economic and political advisory firm, whatever that means. That means when you hear economic and political advisory firm, you mean that they're bagmen for big money. And Ralph Schlosstein, president and CEO of the investment banking firm Evercore Partners, Inc., another upstanding American citizen, I am sure. Among the guests for Pinocchio was Peter Orszag, Mr. Pinocchio's first budget director, now at Citigroup. Other co-hosts of Pinocchio's fundraiser include Roger Altman, founder and chairman of Evercore, and deputy treasury secretary under President Bill Clinton, and then Tom Bernstein, oh yeah, president of Chelsea Piers, and his wife Andy, and Michael Kempner, a New Jersey-based PR and lobbying executive. And tickets to Pinocchio's dinner were $35,800 per person, with $5,000 going to the Obama campaign. Mr. Obama, affectionately known as Pinocchio, is in New York for a meeting at the UN General Assembly. On Tuesday night, the president and first lady, the inveterate traveler, the peripatetic Michelle Obama, are to host a gala at Gotham Hall that includes a performance by singer Alicia Keys. Tickets for Pinocchio and Mrs. Pinocchio's event start at $2,500 and go up to $15,000 for a dinner and photos with the Pinocchios. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill.
High on the clothing bag.
It calls to me.
Charlotte Maylett Swig.
To be where little cable car.
Nancy Pelosi, Bernie Ward, Willie Brown.
I'm halfway to the star.
Senator Leno. Where little children run. All right, turn it off already. Turn it off. I had enough. From boots on the ground to booty on the ground on the President Pinocchio. In one presidency, we've gone from boots on the ground to booty on the ground. That's the sum total of it all. The sum of all fears has finally happened. From Bush, allegedly not the best president in history, did the best he could, not an easy job. We had boots on the ground. Now under Obama, we have booty on the ground. That's why I say we've gone from boots on the ground to booty on the ground under President Pinocchio. Left his mind in San Francisco. There you go. Stealth Wells tag. So, what would you like to do now on the Savage Nation? New York, Frank, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Mike. Mike, you know, first of all, he's not 90. If he was 90, I would say that the man was sick in the head and he was senile. You know, we were kids hanging around Sam's Candy Store in Astoria. We were between the ages of 16 and 18. Most of us miss it because we were only 16. We couldn't get into the service. Tony Bennett was near 17, 18, so he went to Europe and did a big job. My point is this. We were a very conservative neighborhood. We were in Astoria, Queens.
Oh, you mean as an Italian from New York, right? But how did he become such a left-wing nut that he'd go on the Balloon Man show and say that America got what it deserved on 9/11?
I'm embarrassed for him, Mike. I don't know what's gone into him.
Well, what's got into him? That's probably a long line of answers there. But he left New York a long time ago, right? And he went to San Francisco. That's what did it. Look who he hangs around with.
He lives in Manhattan.
Oh, he still lives in Manhattan, and he still thinks this way.
Yeah,
Wait a minute. Didn't he get invited to the White House by Pinocchio last year to sing for them? Didn't he sing for Mr. and Mrs. Pinocchio?
He's turned completely. Why? I don't know. We're not that kind of a neighborhood.
And by the way, he was a foot soldier in Europe in World War II. The man goes way back. And to come out of that war and be anti-war is understandable. To be a man who wants peace is understandable. But to then go to the extent of attacking your own nation is not understandable. I'm sorry, Frank. I agree with you. Frank, if I send you a copy of my book, Abuse of Power, would you actually read it?
Could you send me the one before that, sir?
Oh, see, okay. Yes, you can send. Yes, okay, I'll send you the one before it. I will send you Trickle Up Poverty under Pinocchio Obama. That's all. The man asked, and all right. I mean, I didn't expect that for an answer. How could Ahmadinejad be allowed to come to New York? How could we be living through such madness? How is it possible? The man is the Hitler of our time, who called for the death of all Jews in Israel. You know, I don't believe that there's really a Mossad. You know, the left, Mossad does this, Mossad does that. The Israelis kill this one, Israelis kill that one. If that were true, how could Ahmadinejad fly with impunity and wind up in New York? How is that possible? I'm starting to think it's all a sham. The whole thing seems crazy to me. I don't believe any of it anymore. It seems to me Ahmadinejad now is almost like a purposeful thorn in the side to keep us off base here. That he doesn't really mean it, and that the people who run the world actually know it, and they use him just to upset the Jews and the Christians who support Israel. But it's never going to happen. They know it's all crap. And they use him just to provoke people into fear so they'll give more money to the military-industrial complex. Is that possible? It's like firemen have set fires in order to raise money for firemen so they can sit and do exercise with barbells in the firehouse who nobody needs anymore. I mean, God bless the firemen. But I mean, really, I live in an area. I never saw firehouses like this. They sit around all day pumping iron, working up their bodies, waiting for the pension to come in. 25 years ago, it's true, they ate bacon and eggs and got heart attacks. They did that on purpose, so they'd go out on disability at 110% of their salary, of their last year's salary. That was the fire racket until 20 years ago. Now they're all fit, they're buff, they bicycle, they work out, they eat yogurt for lunch, and they live much longer, but they're waiting for the pension again. Why do you need all these firehouses? Why not volunteer firemen? Whatever happened to why do you think towns 50, 60, 70 years ago had volunteer firemen? Like, think Vermont. There was a firehouse and volunteer firemen. Maybe they had one chief. They didn't have 15 guys sitting around waiting for a pension. Why not volunteer firemen? What's wrong with that? Am I attacking firemen by doing this? Does that not make sense to you? It's going to come anyway, whether you like hearing it from me or not. Oh, I got indigestion. I don't know. I'm under a lot of pressure now between what a Pinocchio is getting away with and Warren Buffett attacking people like me and Jeffrey Immelt not paying taxes on GE income. And the book coming out, and the book making the list, and the pressure on me to keep it on the list, and the pressure on you to buy the book, and the pressure on the stores. It's enough already. I had enough. I need a vacation. I need to go somewhere. Here I am again. Most people went away this summer. They're back. It's after Labor Day. I went nowhere. Everyone went somewhere. I stayed here. This is actually a time I should take a vacation, but I'm not going to. Why? Because the same dentist who ruined my tooth three times now, I'm actually going to see him on Tuesday so he could do it again. He promises me this time it'll be perfect, but he's warning me that although the procedure is, I don't know whether he's working for the, you know, I mean, here I am, a right-wing talk show host. I know he's a liberal dentist in a liberal county. Who knows what he's doing here? I could come out without teeth at all. I shouldn't say this because the government's liable to track down my dental records and find out where I'm going. And the next thing, okay, I'm not going to the dentist on Tuesday. I'm going to have my teeth done in Siberia. I'm going to go to a Siberian dentist. Yeah, I'm gonna send a letter, a telegram to Putin and see if I can get a good dentist in Moscow. A lot of good that'll do me. They'll give me a polonium sushi for dessert. Oh, it's getting so dangerous. We're all living with such. We're walking on the razor's edge, those of us in the media who know what Pinocchio's doing. We're on the razor's edge. You know that.
Savage.
Nobody wants to punish success in America. All I'm saying is, that those who have done well, including me, should pay our fair share in taxes to contribute to the nation that made our success possible. I will not support any plan that puts all the burden for closing our deficit on ordinary Americans. And I will veto any bill that changes benefits for those who rely on Medicare but does not raise serious revenues by asking the wealthiest Americans or biggest corporations to pay their fair share.
Started with the Beatles, and many of you, you know, you had the tie-dye, you had the long hair, you figured you'd get lucky with the girls if you look cool. Meanwhile, you were schlepping in the garment center selling ties anyway, but all right, but you put on the beard, the rings, your little magical mystery tour, you got a little lucky in the village. Now you wake up, you're a grown man, the country's dissolving under your feet. You have Pinocchio in the White House who has taken a great military, which had boots on the ground, and now it has booty on the ground. Under President Pinocchio. It all started with the Magical Mystery Tour. Play it again. Play Magical Mystery Tour because I like that one from... what is that song, by the way? What's the name of it? The Elephant Man? I'm the Walrus?
Dripping from a dead dog's eye. Grab a lock of fishwife, pornographic priestess. Boy, you've been a naughty
guy. This is the Savage Nation listeners. Whispers discretion advised. I'm the Eggman. I am the bag man. I am the bag man for Obama. You know, they could do that kind of as a roast for Obama, if he would permit it, where one of the big fat cats from Wall Street, maybe Jeffrey Immelt could get up and sing this, I am a walrus, but he could insert new words such as I am the bag man instead of I am the egg man. I think it would rhyme, wouldn't it? Play that. No, think about it. The next time they have like a secret meeting at the Bilderbergs, where maybe they put on women's dresses or they go to the... where's the one where in California in the woods where they put on dresses allegedly and run around? I don't know. What's that place? The Bohemian Grove. The next time they meet at the Bohemian Grove and they put on dresses and wolf costumes, they could do a roast in the cabin at night and Jeffrey Immelt could sing I Am the Eggman and change the words to I am the Bagman. I am the Bagman. I am the Bagman. I am the walrus. I am the wolf. I am the bag man. I am the wolf man. IRS data show most millionaires pay taxes at a higher rate than middle class. He is the bag man. He is the bag man. He is the bag man. So Obama and his cronies are spending $1.5 trillion more than they're taking in, and their solution is to A, attack the rich, while raising taxes on the middle class. That's the game. That's the shuck and jive. That's the shuffle. That's the soft shoe. That's the $600 leather shoe tap dance he's doing right now, is to hang around with the billionaires who keep putting him in power like the investment bankers, go to dinner, raise money from them, and then say he's on your side while he's taking money out of you. I mean, did you look at actually what he's proposing? Military veterans actually wants to take your pensions away. Data compiled by the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center show households pulling in more than $1 million pay 30% of their income in federal taxes. By contrast, well, you know the rest of the story, right? So the fact of the matter is we pay plenty. And they want to raise taxes on the middle class. They want to kill business, just as I told you they would. And whether or not the government will, the Congress will pass it is another story. Louisiana Republican Governor Bobby Jindal, remember him? Where did he ever go? I told you he would go. No. Remember when they were touting Jindal? I said, nowhere, finished, gone. I called it off the... Now they're quoting Governor Jindal. I think he wrote a book that sold 12 copies in New Orleans. Oh, yeah, ask the governor. Yeah, I'm right. You want a copy? You want to buy a copy? Louisiana Republican Governor Bobby Jindal said the problem is spending and described the president's proposal as not serious. He doesn't get it, Jindal told Fox News. That's a heck of a bright statement. I wonder why Governor Jindal didn't become president. What were they proposing, the Republicans? They were flowing, you know, like they used to say in Madison Avenue, let's roll it up to, run it up the flagpole and see where it goes. The answer was, hello. This guy was finished out of the starting gate. I said it. They kept pushing, Jindal, Jindal, Jindal. Nice guy, reasonable position, but president, no. Same with Romney now. The reason they want to shaft Perry and promote Romney is they know Romney will lose against Obama. Boom, I told you. I told you so. The Republicans are throwing the election already. Why? You say, that's crazy, Savage. Come on. That's a legitimate party. They want to get back at power. No, 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 no. Not how the system works. The system works like this. 8 years Dems, 8 years Repubs. 8 years Dem, 8 years Repubs. That's the game. Term limits went in, so the two gangs cut it up, and they said, we'll run it 8 years each, and we'll tell the idiots that we're on their side. And then while one party's in power, the other party says, they're crooks, they're no good, they're the worst thing America's ever had. Elect me, and everything will be as good as it was under Bush, when the deficit went through the ceiling originally, and we had wars where nobody knew of any accounting, where the contractor money disappeared faster than water in the Arizona desert during a Mistral. There are no Mistrals in the desert. I was looking for the right metaphor. I couldn't find it. So under Bush, we had runaway inflation. We had two wars. No one knows where the money went. And then, and they said, now along comes Obama, and now they're blaming him. Oh, he did it, he did it, he did it. So they see a guy, Perry. They're terrified that he could actually win. They don't know what to do. So they get the stooge, Neil Cavuto, the little shrimp, the mental shrimp, Neil Cavuto, and he's told what to do by the Prince Alawid, and they, all right, you make sure that they ram Romney down the moron's throats on Fox. Mark my words, what's coming? Leprechaun got his marching orders. Mr. Independent. Shillelagh Leprechaun on Fox News will be pushing against Perry and for Romney as sure as I'm sitting here, because they got the talking points. The Repubes want Romney, and they don't want Perry, because Perry could win and Romney can't. That's my opinion, one man's opinion. Hope I'm wrong. Hope I'm wrong. You think I like being an outsider? Mister, do you think I like putting myself at risk by alienating virtually everybody in the country? Do you think I actually like alienating the entire Republican Party? Do you think I actually enjoy painting myself into a corner? Do you actually think I like walking the plank backwards while cursing the captain? You'd be crazy if you thought so. The reason I do this is threefold. One, because it's true. Two, because it's true. And three, because it's true. I have no choice. My father mentally beat me up about telling the truth, yelled at me, cajoled me, boxed my ears, shook me, made me tell the truth no matter what I did. He told me truth was the highest thing on the earth. You know, truth was truth. Just truth is all that mattered. Beat it out of me. Mentally. Didn't hit me. It was worse than hitting me. I wish he would have hit me. I had a friend. I can't mention his name. You wouldn't know him anyways. He's a non-entity. Never became anything. But when you're young, you don't know who's anything. Like guys you thought were great turn out to be nothing. And the guys you thought were losers, they wind up on top. It's a strange thing. But this guy was nothing then, and he's nothing now, but he's irrelevant. But he said to me, whether he was lying, I don't know. Let's just call him John for the minute. Let's say his name is John. And let's say he had a French accent. And let's say he wore glasses. And let's say he said 20 years ago that he grew up in a monastery where the priests beat him every day. And then it turned out to be a complete lie. What he told me the truth was is that he liked being beaten by them because it was less mental pain than his father, who never hit him, but mentally abused him. He said he actually had relief when his father gave him away to the monastery because when he did something wrong, he knew it and the priest beat him. But he said it was a quick beating and it was over. He said with his father, the sadistic bastard that he was, he never stopped lambasting him and deranging him. Lambasting him and berating him. Berating. I'm a little missing. There's the 12-cylinder engine's running on 11.5. I have to tune it up. I'm tired. Plus personal problems, house problems. Don't ask what I'm doing in the middle of all the cars, houses, cleaning. The woman who works for me is in the hospital. Everything's wrong. Everything went wrong. She fell. She hurt her face. I'm upset over that. The house, the pool is leaking, and the garden's dying from the heat wave. I think the dog is itching. I mean, it's just one of those, a series of events lining up in the wrong way. And then I have to get it all together and do, a V12 that runs right. And I have to promote the book at the same time or I disappoint everybody in the publishing. I tell you what I think is going to happen with abuse of power. You want me to tell you what's happening? I tell you by the initial sales, they're good. They're very good. It's going to be on the list. It's already on the Barnes & Noble bestseller list. It's on the Ingram bestseller list. It'll be on the NYT list. They skew it. They put in, if they throw in like Karl Marx's, or they somehow this week to pull out, you know, The Catcher in the Rye in a special trick edition, my book should be in a big deal, the abuse thing. So that's the good thing. But what happens with the book is this. You can only promote it so much. And if the book is not good, it's not going to go anywhere after the first week. I think the book is so good, the story is so good, it's so important based on a true story, that once people read it, they're going to tell their friends about it. It's called word of mouth. It's like a movie, right? If either it takes off or it doesn't, it's going to take off, okay? Then I get a vacation next week. I go to a dentist and have a tooth yanked out of my head, another one put in, another jaw inside the head with telling me a torque wrench. This is my day off next week. I got to plan this instead of a day at the beach, instead of taking the van and sitting in with a sandwich with the dog, watching a sunrise and a sunset, watching the surfers. No, I'm going to go in there to the sadist again, and he's going to take out a tooth. He's putting in a torque wrench. I don't never heard of this. The last I used a torque wrench was on a car tire. This guy's talking about micro-torquing a tooth. The last time he did it, I got into a cold sweat from my head to my toe. My clothing was wet because he did it like without anesthesia, like in the 1700s. So the next time I went back, I said, how could you do that work on me? When you turned that torque wrench on me, I said, I felt it through the frame of my body. It was like tightening screws in an old Cadillac. It went up into the engine, right into the head. So he said, all right, next time I'll dope you up. I said, but you're liable to make a mistake if I'm not looking. In other words, if I'm sedated, you're liable to talk it too much and break my jaw altogether. This is wonderful. Could you play that soundbite from the Dustin Hoffman movie? What is that movie? What is it called? Marathon Man? I think I'm going to bring it into the dental office with me on Tuesday morning. I'll play Marathon Man on a CD so he knows that I know what's going on. I mean, this guy could leave me...
That cafeteria. That nerve's already dying. A live, freshly cut nerve is infinitely more sensitive.
So, I'll just drill into a healthy tooth until I reach the pulse. Unless, of course, you can tell me that it's safe.
Oh, it's horribly funny. That's Dustin Hoffman playing in Marathon Man with a Nazi dentist who drills into a healthy tooth till he hits the pulp and the nerve. You hear? So this was like in the back of my mind. I can't sleep at night. It's like that on my mind and Pinocchio and assassins. It's unbelievable to me. You know, it's beyond. It's like, okay, it's like life imitating art. I'm afraid abuse of power, which is fictional, become true yet. You know what I'm saying? You read some of the scenes in there where they break into the boat. Like, you know the scene in the book where they break into the boat and Eddie is missing? I'm terrified. I'm telling you the truth. It, God knows. Here it is. I found it. Can I read you a line or two from you, see how good it was? So Jack goes to the boat one night. And can I read this to you? I'm going to do it quick because I'm going to run out of time right away. Carlos Rodriguez, the kid Jack had hired to wash his boat. Carlos was an illegal, and Jack had been trying to help him gain citizenship, although he was convinced that the illegal problem, coupled with corporate welfare, were two things that were surely and swiftly sinking this country. But Jack wasn't without his sympathies, especially toward a young man he knew wasn't afraid of hard work. His own grandfather, a Russian immigrant, had taken a similar path, working long, backbreaking hours to raise his family, and had spent many years living in poverty on New York's Lower East Side. Jack saw the same thing in Carlos that he saw in his own family and people. A sense of pride and a willingness to make sacrifices. So he's wondering who went on his boat because something's wrong. He gets there and the door's left open. So Jack glances up toward the flybridge and he sees no sign of movement. As a precaution, he pulls out his .357 from its holster, then quietly unlocked the starboard pilot house door and slipped inside, carefully surveying the room. He left the lights off, leaving only the pale moonlight to guide him. But as far as he could tell, there was nothing out of place. Yet that feeling of invasion persisted. What was worse, Eddie would usually be leaping at his feet by now, over and over until Jack caught him in his arms, but there was no sign of the dog. Jack's gut tightened and a fresh wave of uneasiness rolled through him. He was tempted to call out to the little guy, but he remained silent. If anyone was in here, there was no point in announcing himself. Instead, Jack stepped past the helm to the port door. It was unlocked. Jack never left his doors unlocked, not while he was gone. For a moment, he considered backing out completely and waiting in the darkness on the dock for someone to emerge. But an unlocked door was merely proof that someone had been here, not that they'd stuck around, and he was worried about Eddie. Turning, he checked the salon, watching the darkness for any sign of movement, listening for any sounds of breathing, but there was a stillness in the air that told him it was empty. He moved down the short set of steps and crossed through to the aft cabin, which was also empty. Taking his cell phone from his pocket, he hit the flashlight app, and the screen glowed. He shone the beam up the spiraled wooden stairway and cautiously climbed the steps to the flybridge, but there was no sign of anything amiss. A moment later, he was back inside the pilot house and headed down to the lower deck. He took the steps cautiously, keeping the 357 at the ready. He had no qualms about doing whatever was necessary to protect himself. When he reached the companionway, he stood very still, listening. The boat gently rocked, and the only sound was the quiet lapping of the bay against the hull. No sign of Eddie down here either. So where was he? Dread washing through him, Jack used his cell phone flashlight again, keeping the beam low as he worked his way around to the guest stateroom, bracing himself for a surprise attack. But the cabin was clear. No boogeyman in the shadows. No sign of a disturbance. Turning, he was about to check the second guest room when he noticed that the door to the head was ajar. He supposed it could have been loosened somehow, but he doubted it, and he wasn't prone to leaving that door unlatched. Tightening his grip on the 357, he approached the head carefully, half expecting to find someone hiding in there. But when he gently pushed the door open and shone the light inside, he discovered the small bathroom and shower stall empty. But his instincts had been right. Someone had been in here. In the light of his cell phone, he saw a noose hanging from the shower head, an empty noose that had been fashioned from Eddie's leash. Page 112 of Michael Savage's Abuse of Power. I'm not going to give away the rest of the scene. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Grab a lock of fishwife, pornographic priestess. Boy, you've been a naughty girl. You let your knickers down. I am the Eggman.
Bagman.
They are the Eggman.
I am the actress.
I am the walrus.
I am the actress. Goo 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 goo. I'm a Dinajad. I am the tax man. I am the bag man. I am the actress. Goo 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 goo. So it started with the Magical Mystery Tour. Boots on the ground. Now we got booty on the ground under President Pinocchio. Soon there will not be any men left to fly the planes off ships, but it will look... it will look like a rainbow coalition and very diverse, and that's the important thing. It's not whether a ship can sail. I mean, after all, the ships could be left in harbor and in port, and as long as the Navy personnel, especially at the top echelon, which is too white right now, if you actually look at the top echelon in the Navy, embarrassingly, it's all white men, 99% white men. And that is true, it's very diverse on the lower decks. But in order to make it very diverse, you have to move, things. So it wouldn't matter whether the ship moved or not. The thing is that under Obama, what's important is that the picture of the rulers of the sea, you know, of the ships, the guys who actually can do the thing, it's in other words, perception is the whole thing. So in other words, if you show it as a rainbow coalition running the ship, it wouldn't matter whether the ship was actually running. It would be like Al Sharpton on MSNBC, in other words. Okay, it's the same kind of thing. So that's what it's all about. Now, it doesn't matter what the planes fly. Think of the gasoline you'll save. It's very green not to fly a jet off an aircraft carrier. Think about how green that is. And wait a minute. Why should run the ship at all? If you don't run the ship, think how green that is. In fact, they should rip out the nuclear engines off the aircraft carriers and put in, I don't know, some hybrid engine run by, that was created by Wiregate or Solargate people. If they put in an engine that didn't even work, but it was green, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that make the school children happy under Obama? Rip out the nuclear, evil nuclear-powered engines on the aircraft carriers and the submarines, right? And put in hybrid engines that run off the sun, even though no sun reaches the ship under the water. And then tell the idiot children in school on Ritalin and other drugs that the ships are now green and hybrid. Moreover, they're peace-loving ships. They don't even float anymore. They put steel piers underneath them to make sure that they don't even have to float. That way there's less maintenance. Again, lead-based paint, you know? So there it is. That's the new Navy under Obama, Pinocchio. From boots on the ground to booty on the ground. I am the bag man. I am the actress. It's awful. It's the razor's edge. And let me tell you something that's starting to come through my shoes. Yeah, I've been walking the razor's edge a long time. And the soles are a little worn out.
Savage. Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Someday, it's unbelievable. The Solandra, who I'm calling the Solandra executives involved in Solargate, as I call it, are coming before a House hearing this Friday. You're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. The two top executives at this bankrupt California solar energy company have just announced today they will invoke their Fifth Amendment rights and refuse to answer questions when they appear at a House hearing on Friday. This is right out of The Godfather. If you recall, Solargate is bigger than Watergate. Obama is in it up to his eyes, in my opinion. Solargate execs to plead Fifth Amendment and not give any testimony at a House hearing on Friday. I cannot believe what I'm reading. We're living through the most corrupt administration in American history. It looks to me like absolute gangsterism, and now they're pleading the Fifth. At the same time, we have Wiregate. Wiregate is astounding. It's another huge story. You can't believe this one. It's going to get worse. He's a billionaire, and he disputes that his company sought White House help. This is the man who, it is alleged by an Air Force general, tried to steer the Air Force general into testimony he did not want to give. There's more. It gets worse by the minute. It's going down and down and down. Then we have Perry giving a great speech, ripping Obama for isolating and undermining Israel, calling his policies, Obama's policies on Israel, naive, arrogant, misguided, and dangerous. And for saying what is true, Perry is being ripped to shreds by the vermin in the media. At the same time, the Hitler of Iran, Ahmadinejad, has arrived in New York City. At the same time that Obama is attacking fat cats, he meets them for dinner at night to take in their money. And at the dinners, he does not mention tax hikes on the rich at the high-dollar fundraiser. It's unbelievable because the Associated Press just did a fact check, and they discovered what we all know to be true. The wealthiest people in America pay a lot more taxes than the middle class. Okay? Also on michaelsavage.com today, not to be missed, if that's not enough for you, we got Wiregate, we got Solargate, we got Taxgate, we got Fast and Furious Gate. We've got one thing after another. On the top left, we have Abuse of Power by Michael Savage. Although it's the title of a fiction book, which will be on the New York Times bestseller list when it's announced this week, I can guarantee you one thing. The title Abuse of Power applies to the current administration. Okay? The old fool anti-American blowhard Tony Bennett goes on to the Balloon Man show on Sirius Radio, and he has the nerve to attack the United States for 9/11, and the Balloon Man agrees with him. Come on, that's ridiculous, but identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485. And get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. In the Justice Department, there is a new bill that just came out. And that is a bill for muffins that cost $16 and coffee that cost $8.75 a cup. That's justice under Eric Holder. Wiregate billionaire disputes charges that Light Squared bought White House. Dictator Chavez, a friend of Sean Penn, seizes all gold in Venezuela. More nationalization. UN wants world tax to curb disease. Amazon.com reader reviews, abuse of power. If you don't believe me, see what readers are saying. Mr. Lehman, the former Secretary of the Navy, is saying naval aviation is sinking in political correctness. The swagger and daring has given away to integrating women and gays. Kiss America goodbye. On the bottom of MichaelSavage.com, some rich even save donkeys. Afghans unapologetically cheer on dogfights. It's a blood sport that they love. They like to watch dogs kill each other because, after all, they're a peace-loving people, the Afghanis. That's why men are coming home in body bags and in body parts being shipped home to their widows to release these third worlders so they can do what they do best, which is kill each other and torture animals. That's right. Afghans cheer on dogfights. The blood sport, technically illegal, is lucrative and popular, even among Afghani government officials. In a culture accustomed to violence, few Afghanis see it as barbaric, and they want you to send your son over there to release those barbarians from what? It's unbelievable. You know Michael Vick, the American quarterback convicted of participating in an illegal dogfighting operation? If he were in Afghanistan, he'd be declared a national hero. They would make him into a postage stamp. That's what you get. That's what you get in Afghanistan. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
You don't know what tonight's going to bring, let alone tomorrow. I mean, we make plans. Sure, we plan. Everyone thinks they're going to live a ripe old age. They're going to be surrounded. They're going to get a little ill, not totally ill, not very badly ill, never cancer, no heart attack, nothing like that. That happens to other people. They're just going to slowly slow down, and they're going to wind up sitting quietly in a resort somewhere, a resort-like retirement community. They'll be able to take care of themselves right to the end, and they'll be surrounded by loving friends and family, and they will die in their sleep at approximately 99 years of age. It happens, perhaps one out of a billion. I don't know what the number is now. Maybe one out of 500 million might go that way, or one out of 300 million. I don't really have the numbers, but it's not happening to you, Johnson. More likely, it will be a horrendous slow death, either from cancer or some other debilitating disease, or even worse yet, Alzheimer's disease, where you're left for hours at a time in a nursing home in a corner, staring at a curtain, unable to move and not knowing who you are, where an orderly will beat you about the head and neck slowly with something that hides the blunt trauma and steals the small change that your adult son or daughter brings you. Given that that's the fact of reality here, and I'm in a long day's journey and tonight mood, which I've been in since I'm about 16 years old, but particularly now, I'm not sad, I'm not agitated, I'm just affected by this. Because, look, the Grim Reaper comes around and he gets closer and closer and you see him circling and you start saying, there we go again, And so what is it that you want to do with the rest of your life? You have to ask yourself, if you're a driven man as I am, and I've been driven all my life, let me tell you right now, this is nothing new to me. I've been driven from very early on to do things in my life. And I'm no saint. Don't confuse me with trying to tell you I'm such a saint. I'm not Al Gore. Okay, I'm none of those people. I'm just like you. Maybe I'm a little luckier and maybe I'm a little more hardworking than some people, but I'm not different than the average intelligent person out there in some ways. In some ways, I'm a genius. In some ways, I'm a big idiot. I understand all of that. That's the human being. But I have a gift. There's no question I have a gift in radio. It's probably inherent. It's innate. Nobody taught me how to do radio, and look where I am after 13 years. I'm in the winner's circle, just where I knew I would be. Now, I could spend the next number of years just trying to get to number one, the number one slot. I could do that if I wanted, and I could probably win. I mean, I could change my time slot and go right up against Rush, and I'm telling you, Rush wouldn't stand the chance. In one year, he wouldn't be number one. I would be number one. But I don't have such a desire. It doesn't mean anything to me. It has no meaning to me, none whatsoever. I've always seen the big picture. I've always seen the longer picture. There's very little that I want for materially. I only want my health and the health of my children, to be honest with you. But then I say, well, what about my poor country? What good is all of this health? What good is a reasonable success if the have-nots are being brought in by the tens of millions, and if the have-nots are being told that they can take from those who have created it by these evildoers in the Democrat Party? There's nothing to work for. They'll take it all away from your inheritors. They will not inherit Jack Johnson. They'll give it away to the bums who didn't work for it. And that motivates millions of people like me. Let me tell you right now, illegitimi non caberundum. We don't want the illegitimate taking away our livelihood, and we don't want the illegitimate stealing from us any more of our damn tax money. Here in the state of California, we pay not only federal tax, we pay 10% of our income as state income tax. 10% right off the top. But wait, there's a bigger insult. Last year, while you slept, they added another tax for people in a slightly higher bracket in the state of California of an additional 1% called a mental health tax. So that's 11%. Now, what the heck is a mental health tax? Where does the money go? Well, you say, well, it goes for mental health. No, it probably goes to gray-bearded child molesters so they can write papers and go to conferences in Thailand and rape young boys. That's where the extra 1% goes. I can guarantee you it doesn't go anywhere else. And where will it end? Nobody knows where it'll end. So these are the things that are agitating me. And I read you the opener, how long do we have, and that the Athenian Republic lasted not very long, but that in 1787, Alexander Tyler, a Scottish history professor, said a democracy is always temporary in nature. It simply cannot exist as a permanent form of government because a democracy will exist up until the time that voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. And that's Hillary Clinton. That's the invented man called Obama. That's the Biden, that's the Edwards mentality, which is to live like commissars in the ex-Soviet Union and tell you that they're for the people. They are absolute Bolsheviks. They're right out of the Communist Party USA with a slight differential. Believe me, and not a great one at that. So that's what I was thinking about. So now let me go a little bit more here of where I'm coming from and how I got there. In my neighborhood, I had seen a 57 Eldorado for a while in a garage. I know you're saying, how the heck did he jump to there? Well, watch where I'm going, and you'll see I'll come back to where I started from. And I had seen, so I inquired from a neighbor's neighbor, is it for sale, blah, blah, blah. So I went and looked at it yesterday. It's a 57 Eldorado, totally restored, frame up, really nice car. I have a 65 Caddy convertible. I have a weakness for 60s and 50s cars that are perfect. I don't really have the place to put it, but I looked at it, we talked. And this gentleman's from Sweden, very nice man. And before long, we started talking about the Muslim attempt to take over Sweden. I said, how did you Vikings let this happen to you? He said, we were too tolerant. He said, they came in asking for asylum, and we woke up, we can't even go into some cities. And he said, don't even get my mother started. My mother is vehement on this issue, that if we don't crack down on them and deport these imams, we're going to lose Sweden. And on and on and on. And I said, well, look at the illegal aliens in America. I said, Ted Kennedy is working around the clock to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens, which will be the death of the United States of America as we know it. It will be over. It will be over. As far as I'm concerned, it's a declaration of war against our sovereignty. To me, it's a declaration of war against the people. I don't know how else to put it. What do you think? I like saying this? You think I don't know I'm putting myself in danger? I'm nobody. But I'm not alone. Tens of millions of you understand what's at stake. You don't want the illegal aliens to be granted amnesty. You know what that'll do to this country. You know it'll give them the right to bring in 5, 10, as many relatives as they want within 5 years. You'll be living in Tijuana with all of the horrendous problems of Mexico on a street corner near you. And if you want to live in Mexico, then I suggest you go live in Mexico. But for God's sakes, don't make this great nation into that corrupt socialist dictatorship called Mexico. And so having churned all of this over the weekend, I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. I couldn't sleep because of the mortality thing and the this and the that. And I started to add it up, and I said to myself, I'm leveling with you like I'm talking with you in a bar. And this is one of the things I can do very well. And you listen because it's like a guy talking to you from the heart and from real. So I know you're listening, those of you who want to listen. And those who don't, well, I can't help you. If you want to hear a regular, this is the Savage Nation, and we'll be talking. I'm not going to do that. There are other people who do that very well. This is much different. It's conversational, and it's based upon the reality of the man doing the show. So you'll go along with me. And I need a break coming up, but let me start with this. I said, did you add up the decades of your life? Now look at where you were from like age 11 to 21. Look at the change in your life in those 10 years. I said 11 to 21 was one of the most dramatic. You can't even do that lump. That's too big. Because at that age, 11 to 15 is already a change in your life unlike perhaps any you're ever going to experience again, except perhaps from middle age to old age. So let me back up. From like fifth, okay, let's start when I graduated high school, college. I don't even know how old I was. I entered college when I was, I've forgotten completely. I don't even know anymore. I'm losing track of it. I was like 16 when I went into, I was 16 when I got out of high school. I skipped the grade, and the way I was born, the month I was born, they put me in, blah, blah, blah. So I entered college at 16. I graduated college at 21. It took me 5 years because my father got a heart attack, and I had to leave school for a semester and go run his little store and sell various things and leave school. But the fact of the matter is, I said, well, now look where you went. Yeah, now I was thinking, like from there, from when you got out of college, 21, you were just a social worker on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. You were working with welfare grifters who were ripping the system off then, and you knew it. That's why you quit the welfare department. I have story after story. You say, like the road, how I became a conservative. Well, let me tell you where it started. It started when I was a welfare worker. They didn't call it anything else then. It's called welfare. You went and you gave them a little check, and you found out they were grifting everything under the sun on the side, making believe they were poor, those bums. Those bums didn't need the money. I needed the money. I lived worse than they did. They had furniture. I had a soapbox on the for a bed table. They had furniture we had to buy for them. From age 21, never mind to 31, but from age 21 to 25, the things that occurred in my life, what I did with myself in those few years, I dragged myself out from a no-career future as a lowly teacher. I went back to school to get a master's degree, and I didn't leave college till I got two master's degrees and a PhD from a great university. Now, that's when my trouble began. Little did I know that the society had turned on white males who had no connections. Every sign on every university said white males need not apply.
Savage.
Well, another major scandal in the Obama administration, the Solargate scandal, which you know as Solyndra. So what is the Solargate scandal and who is involved? To give us his view on this, we have former chief investigator for House Reform and Oversight and president of Citizens United, David Bossie. David Bossie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It's great to talk to you.
Why don't you remind the listeners of the Savage Nation what is actually going on with the Solargate scandal?
Well, Solyndra seems to have started right in the White House in the sense that President Obama and his administration have put forward bad policy, bad science, bad technology ahead of good fiscal and economic policy. So they really wanted to help build all of these green jobs that this particular loan program was supposed to help, that Solyndra ended up getting $500 million as a loan before failing. So the beginning of this came right out of their desire, their ideological left-leaning socialist agenda to create all of this fabricated green jobs that they've been talking about for years, and they wanted to foist this and continue to foist this on the American people by propping up all of these new companies that were trying to create green jobs. So I think from that stemmed the relationship, this crony capitalism, this cronyism that is, you know, the rich get bailed out. They make these investments, but then they expect to be bailed out. And so this guy, George Kaiser, who's the biggest investor in Solyndra, and a bundler for the 2008 Obama presidential campaign, somebody who raised over $100,000 for his campaign, had access to the highest levels of government, including the President of the United States, was somebody who met with at the White House Valerie Jarrett and former Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel. So there's a host of problems on a multitude of levels that are really how this scandal even began.
who are the major players involved in the Solargate scandal, and what does it have to do with campaign contributions?
Well, the main players, as I was saying, Michael, is Valerie Jarrett, Rahm Emanuel, Michelle Obama, Barack Obama. Now, those are the people that we know personally George Kaiser. Those are the people that we know met with George Kaiser. We know for a fact, it's been publicized, that Valerie Jarrett, one of Barack Obama's top confidants at the White House, somebody who came from Chicago with the Obamas, somebody who served on the Urban Health Initiative at the University of Chicago with Michelle Obama. She is a main player here. Rahm Emanuel, the current mayor of Chicago, somebody who at the time was serving as chief of staff. So we know that at the top levels, Michelle Obama led the Urban Health Initiative, which received a $10,000 donation from George Kaiser. So this cronyism, this old boy network, some people might call it Chicago politics. This whole network of friends who take care of each other in high places. That's what they seem to have brought to Washington, not the hope and change.
Well, obviously there needs to be a bigger investigation of this, don't you think?
Well, I urge Chairman Issa, Darrell Issa, who's the chairman of the Committee on Government Reform and Oversight, the main investigative body of Congress, to issue subpoenas immediately and to depose those. And he should be issuing subpoenas for documents related to this investigation. He should be demanding documents from George Kaiser. He should be demanding documents from Solyndra, from George Kaiser's funding entities, the ones that he gives money out of. They should be issuing subpoenas at the White House for emails, computer traffic, letters, and all the phone traffic, cell phone calls, messages into these people, as well as the White House logs, who's in, who's out, attending all of these different meetings, the president's schedule, the vice president's schedule, and the first lady's schedule. This is, I as the former chief investigator for that committee, I oversaw all of these types of investigations during Bill Clinton's term, two terms in the White House. And so from Whitewater all the way through the campaign finance investigation, we had to do these types of things. And you really need, Chairman Issa is going to really need some hard-charging, forward-leaning investigators to get to the bottom of it. He's going to have to really have nerves of steel because he's going to be attacked at every turn. We all know that the politicized Department of Justice isn't going to do this right. So I have joined in some others, Lamar Smith and others, who have asked for a congressional investigation as well as an independent counsel appointed in order to look at this investigation through a fair set of eyes.
Where does this scandal, Solargate, rank on the list of top scandals under Obama?
You know, it's just too early to tell where we are, Michael. I think that this has a long way to go. The one thing this has in common with a lot of other presidential scandals that ended up costing the president a lot of capital, political capital, is that this is directly tied to President Obama and the First Lady. There's no way for Barack Obama to distance himself from Solyndra because he visited the site. There's no ability for him to distance himself from George Kaiser because they are friends, because Kaiser was a bundler for his 2008 presidential campaign, because Kaiser gave to Michelle Obama's Urban Health Initiative. Those are things that reek to high heaven. The problems that are similar to that of Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon.
What can be done to prevent more of this from happening under Obama?
I urge folks to call Chairman Issa's committee. You can call 202 255 3121. That's the Capitol Hill switchboard. Ask for Chairman Issa's office and demand an investigation. Demand that he issue subpoenas and issue deposition subpoenas for people to have to testify under oath, because things always change when these folks have to testify under oath. And then at the end of the day, his committee is all about the court of public opinion. It is not about a court of law. And therefore, he could hold public hearings and explain to the American people exactly what he found out. And that's what's, I think, one of the most important things and duties that he has is to do that.
Will any of this lead to the impeachment of Obama?
Well, we have a long way to go before we could talk about impeachment. I think, I think I was the first person to call for Bill Clinton's impeachment. And even in hindsight, I think I was a little early on that, even though it ended up happening. But the bottom line is, we have a long way to go. He has made a lot of enemies. Presidents in this type of atmosphere do. George Bush made a lot of enemies. I'm not a fan of calling for impeachment right out of the gate because, I think that there needs to be a lot more evidence. But as a guy who used to head the committee that would investigate this, I could tell you there's a lot of things that just don't smell right. And I would withhold judgment, but clearly that's where this could head.
Hey, David Bossy, this is amazing. Thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Thanks, Michael. It was great to be on. Please, everybody, go to citizensunited.org to learn more about us.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Every poll that comes out shows that the majority of Americans in every state are conservative. How is it that we have liberals in Congress? Could it be that you've been lied to, that the vote today is about as valid as that of Uruguay, that everything's been skewed by scales, that they've used illegal aliens and false computer programs to put Obama in office and to keep scales like Feinstein and Boxer in office forever? Nobody likes Boxer and Feinstein except illegal aliens and others. How is it that the mainstream American doesn't have a representative other than a few in the Southeast, and here and there a smattering here and there? How's it possible? Answer, the government media complex. A case in point, National Public Radio, an organization that would not survive were it not for federal dollars. Of course, none of them have the capacity to make it a commercial radio, and they're on the wrong side of history with regard to everything, including nutrition. Case in point, today they have a guy on who is talking about the glories of Jewish delicatessens and glorifying poison food. We all know the food is poison. Now listen to this. Here's a guy they have on NPR. Instead of talking about the wisdom of alternative medicine, the wisdom of nutritional supplements, the wisdom of herbal medicine, the wisdom of self-care, the wisdom of controlling yourself with regard to eating poison, the slobs on NPR have a guy on talking about the beauty of Jewish delicatessens and how they're an example of culture. Listen to clip five.
Legend has it, because this happened 2 years before I was born, that my grandfather had been treated for angina. And he was supposedly released from the hospital with a stern warning from the doctor saying, you really have to live better. You can't smoke. You can't eat these fatty foods. And so to celebrate his release, he went to Schwartz's Delicatessen in Montreal, a famous delicatessen, and he got a sandwich piled high, a smoked meat sandwich piled high with speck, which they no longer make, which was the fat cut from the top of the brisket, the pickled fat, dusted in paprika, and then grilled and then re-sliced. So it was a sandwich essentially of pure fat, and he died about a day or two later. I mean, the sandwich did him in, but he died in a mustard-soaked blaze of glory. It ain't health food, but it's not poison either.
It is poison. It is poison. It's pure poison wrapped in orange cellophane. And the fact of the matter is, for NPR to promote this shows you that they're on the wrong side of virtually everything.
Yeah, it's not about people not having a hamburger once in a while.
Okay, but did she get the sweet potato fries or the regular? Never mind, I'm not asking.
You know, she likes both, actually.
She likes the sweet potato
and
fries.
And you should
and
try them in the White House, too, because sometimes we make them and they're outstanding.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. the Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to americaisrising.com, 800-255-4199, americaisrising.com. You know, I was thinking about this the other night. I was thinking about how many years I was a pioneer in the field of popularizing nutritional supplements, nutritional medicine, herbal medicine. And many of you own my books going back to 1972. My first published book was Earth Medicine, Earth Foods, Nutrition Against Aging, Maximum Immunity, which Houghton Mifflin published in 1986, and it has been in like six languages. Many people don't know that. And I realized something. Just as I was trying to awaken America to the limited view of the AMA medicine, the philosophy of the AMA doctors, this doesn't mean that they're corrupt, and it doesn't mean that they're evil. It's just that they have a very two-dimensional view of medicine. And so for many years, there was a growing awareness of this, and the alternative medical movement began. And as a result, there's been a revolution in self-care with regard to people cutting down on various foods and taking in other foods and using supplements wisely. And I'm responsible for a great deal of that, and I'm very proud of it. But the very same mindset that I brought to educating America with regard to the dangers of certain foods and the benefits of certain supplements, I have tried to bring for the last 15 years to the political discourse. In other words, Democrats and Republicans may not be evil any more than AMA doctors are evil, but they're all trapped in a limited doxy. Their viewpoints are limited, and the limitations are such that anyone who falls outside of the doxy of the AMA is called a quack, and anyone who falls outside the doxy of Republican-Democrat is called, well, whatever you want to call whatever the name is, doesn't matter to me. But in fact, the very same revolutionary, if you want to use that concept, of not eating speck, not eating fat, not eating schmaltz, exercising, eating a lot of vegetables and fruits, that was considered quackery in the 1960s and 70s by the AMA doctors, many of whom, of course, themselves have come to understand that that's nonsense to call people who are in the nutritional field nuts. You have to have both lines of medicine operating at the same time, both the preventive and the Western lines of medicine. No one's arguing against surgery or medical medicine per se. They'd be fools to say so. But you can't exclude the values of vitamin C, vitamin E, the B vitamins. I can go down the list. I'm not going to give you a whole encyclopedia right now. I've written about it for so many years. But it's the same with the political structure. If you're going to sit there and listen to a schmuck on the radio who tells you Democrats bad, Republicans good, Huckabee's great, Schmuckabee's even better, Palin is terrific. If you're going to listen to that, you're not getting anywhere. It's the same exact thing as the AMA either selling you A or B, column A or column B. And if you really want a change in America towards a real, whole, wholesome America, an America that is pure again, an America that is somewhat natural again, an America that has pride again, an America that has dignity again, a body politic that can shake off the disease of decadence again, then you're going to have to rid yourself of the addiction of Democrat-Republican. Applause, please, because I know I deserve it. I deserve it from that little speech I just gave it to you. The very same mindset that I and many other pioneers brought to this nation going back, and there were people way before me, I can name many of them. It started long before I arrived on the scene. Some of the pioneers I've forgotten myself. But they're around. They're older than I am. I inherited some of their genius and ran with it and wrote some great books that millions of Americans bought over the years. And then I entered the world of politics on the radio in 94, quite by chance, because I'd gotten so angry at what I had seen going on, the Democrat-Republican game. And I started talking about real policies and their real effects on real people. And here I am today, borders, language, culture is my message. It's no different than my message about stop eating fat, stop eating speck, start eating carrots, start eating green peas, start taking massive doses of vitamin E as the Shute brothers tried to educate the people from Canada in the 1950s. They're still way ahead of everybody. They proved back in the 1950s that 800 to 1,000 units of vitamin E a day would probably prevent most heart attacks. Now, of course, there's been a concerted effort on the part of the pharmaceutical industry and doctors to prove the Shute brothers wrong, but they're not wrong. They're not wrong any more than Dr. McCulley was at Harvard in 1954 when he discovered that if you gave rats a certain diet and you denied them certain B vitamins such as B6, they rapidly developed hardening of the arteries. If, on the other hand, you gave the rabbits vitamin B6 pyridoxine, you could prevent the onset of atherosclerosis. McCulley was a genius. He was a pathologist, way beyond the shills that you see in the media today. And their studies have never been talked about to any great extent. I remember writing about this in 1983, I think, in Nutrition Against Aging. I don't even remember anymore. Most of these books are out of print. They should be reprinted. And maybe I'll do so. I mean, I did reprint Healing Children Naturally, and that book is selling like crazy because there's really not a better book about raising children from the point of view of diet and vitamins. And again, I'm not here to sell you a book. I'm here to sell you on the knowledge, the concept, the philosophy of rational medicine, which includes diet and nutrition. Same with politics. Again, it's the same exact thing with politics. What we have with guys like Newt Gingrich, with guys like Dick Armey, who, by the way, called for the fairness doctrine, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, what they are the equivalent of the HIV virus inside the body politic of the conservative movement. What they do is they actually attack the defense cells that arise to fight the radical, let us say, liberals inside our blood system, if you want to use that analogy. Guys like Dick Armey mimic our defense cells by attacking them, invading them, destroying them, and then walk around inside the macrophage camouflage like Trojan horses, when in fact they are exactly what they say they're not. Savage.